They said nobody would song about that. They said it would be unaffordable for the country. They were wrong about that.
You had a law which said healthy people are going to pay in. It made explicit the healthy people pay in and sick people get money. It would not have passed. Okay, just like the people, lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass.
No one has to keep their private insurance. They can buy into this plan. And they can buy into it with a $1,000 deductible and never have to pay more than 8.5% of their income when they do it. And if they don't have any money, they get in free. So this idea is a bunch of malarkey.
The technical issues plaguing the Obamacare website rollout are only part of the problem. Many who managed to navigate the system, gotten quotes, plan to sign up, are now saying no thank you. They're finding the Affordable Care Act is unaffordable, at least for them.
Their health care company has informed them their current plan will cease in the next year because it doesn't comply with the Affordable Health Care Act. She needs to find a new plan. So Christy, a part-time teacher, and her husband, who owns a video company, went online. And after a week of trying, finally figured out just what kind of insurance she could get under the Affordable Care Act. And for her, it seems unaffordable.
All that really truly is a tapeworm on the economic system. I mean, it is eating up, instead of $170 per person in 1960, when we actually thought we were doing pretty well in this arena, to over $10,000 per person. Just think of that, $10,000 per person, you know, family of four, on balance, $40,000 of GDP going to just one aspect of their lives.
More than a decade before the Affordable Care Act's disastrous consequences became undeniable, Alex Jones, Michael Snyder, and Mike Adams repeatedly warned that Obamacare was deliberately engineered not to fix health care, but to break the private insurance market and force America into a government-run single-payer system.
It will actually reduce the deficit by $4 trillion over the long term. Reducing the waste and inefficiency in Medicare and Medicaid will pay for most of this plan. It will slow the growth of healthcare costs for our families, our businesses, and our government. There will be a provision in this plan that requires us to come forward with more spending cuts if the savings we promised don't materialize.
They documented Obama's serial abandonment of the public option, his knowingly false promises that Americans could keep their plans and doctors.
If you've got health care already, then you can keep your plan if you are satisfied with it.
If you like the plan you have, you can keep it.
I intend to keep this promise. If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
If you like your plan and your doctor, you can keep them.
You'll be able to keep your health care plan.
And the law's built-in mechanisms, mandates, subsidies, and regulatory overreach that would inevitably drive premiums higher, cancel existing coverage, and create complete chaos.
We did fail to bring down the cost of health care.
But what do you say to people who say they don't want to pay for the undocumented?
Okay, let me tell you why we're doing it first, and then I'll answer that.
Okay.
Everyone should have a right to health care. Here's the idea. Everyone should have a right to health care.
Health care costs up over 80%, millions of plan cancellations.
Obamacare is a prescription for failure. The nation's second largest health insurer just pulled out. Anthem ended its agreement in Indiana and Wisconsin for next year because it just can't manage the cost of sick patients signing up for Obamacare.
Botched exchanges costing billions and persistent coverage gaps that never approached the promised universality.
You have been the single greatest threat to my family in the entire world. You are the reason I stay up at night.
After 15 years of soaring premiums, employer hour cutting, crony contractor windfalls, and the quiet death of the public option, maybe now Congress is listening. Republican representative from Idaho, Russ Fulcher, has become one of the first sitting congressmen to state this original critique plainly and on the congressional record.
Affordable Care Act, in my opinion, was never designed to be affordable, and it was never designed to maximize care. It was designed to break the system so that government would need to be a single provider, a single payer. And I think that's played out. We just saw some data last week that healthcare costs has increased over 80% on average just since the Affordable Care Act got put in.
Harrison, Listen, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Joining me in studio is Tayana Sekic.
God,
Sekic. Truth Seeker, you can call her. Truth Seeker 01011 on X. She's a Canadian advocate and outspoken voice for truth, justice, and accountability. Born in the former Yugoslavia, she immigrated to Canada at the age of 9, bringing with her resilience and a global perspective that continues to shape her work to today. You can follow her on Facebook, Tayana Sekic, and Instagram as well, Truthseeker 01011. Tayana, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here. I mean, this is overwhelming, but I am so excited. So,
well, I was saying to you earlier, I saw you in the hallway, and I said, who is that? I didn't quite recognize you. And then I saw your video. Somebody posted a video online saying, hey, Tayana's on Alex Jones with one of your videos. And I was like, oh, it's her, because we played a lot of your videos. They're very good. You boil everything down really well. But man, Canada, what is going on with you guys?
We are definitely hurting. I think we have been completely taken over by the cabal system, the World Economic Forum, and we are being held hostage against our will in Canada. And I don't think anybody really has a straightforward solution as to how we will get out of the situation that we have found ourselves in.
Why do you think that is? Is it the parliamentary system? Because it seems like from Europe and Canada, the parliamentary system, while I love aspects of it, like I love the question time where everybody's yelling questions, like parts of it I like, but then it just seems like it's so much easier to control for some reason, even than our two-party system, which obviously is a control structure of its own sort. But like, is it the parliamentary system? What makes it so impossible to get out of this?
I honestly think it's a multiple things in aspect that are kind of working against us, the parliamentary system being one of them. Another one, our Charter of Rights isn't really as strong as your Constitution. And then also the way Canadians are. It's the same way that UK and Germany is. We have been trained to be friendly, to really be progressive in all of our views, to welcome everybody in. And I think that they're using that kindness as weakness against ourselves, pretty much. And right now, because Canada is a parliamentary system, there's not really somebody that can come in to take over and really, shake up the system and also fix what is, I guess, ahead of us. Because Justin Trudeau, the way he played everything out is he came in, took everything over, and then slowly started to take over the Senate, started to take over the media, and he's been placing all of these pawns into place so that he can push all of his laws and policies and procedures into place without any sort of opposition.
Right.
Yeah, and I think we have a lot of issues in Canada regarding that.
Yeah, and it's only getting worse, and things are getting like significantly worse. I know you and Alex were talking about it, but it just still mind-blowing to me, the whole thing about the best thing to do with criminals is comply. When I heard the cops say that, and the whole story, if people don't know, there was a 5-year-old that was raped in his own home, I believe, by an invader. And yeah, the police's response was basically like, well, if you try to stop them, they'll kill you. So just let them do whatever they want. And it's just like, it was such a crazy thing to hear somebody
in a system of power say, but I guess that's in line with like the laws that are being passed and the way that, that government up there is operating. And it's the same thing happening in Australia, same thing happening in New Zealand, same thing happening in the UK. What is it about these like Anglophone countries that are just weak? It's crazy.
The thing is, this has now been in the news, but Canada has always been that way. You were never allowed to defend yourself. You were never allowed to defend your property. The police would show up and continuously stand with the criminals. And if people read into communism and Marxism, that's actually one of the ways that they create chaos, is to not give police actual policing jobs. And they almost act as mediators, but they always mediate towards the criminal instead of the victim itself. And so right now, because it's getting to the point where it's so absurd, where rapes and child predators are being let loose with absolutely no repercussions, it's starting to hit the news and really kind of show. We've had this in the news so many times where somebody would break into someone's home, he was stabbing him, the guy grabs, you know, a gun, shoots him, and the guy who was defending his own life, who was getting stabbed, actively getting stabbed, went to jail, while the person that was doing the stabbing got away scot-free. And that is Canada.
Yeah, it is genuinely insane. Like, I don't even know how to confront this stuff, because, again, it just seems so obviously tyrannical. There's stuff like this, and this is from October of this year. Bill C-8 would allow ministers to secretly cut off phone and internet service. And they keep putting these bills forward that just are insanely tyrannical and restrictive. This is the cybersecurity bill C-8. It would allow the ministers of industry to secretly order telecommunication service providers like TELUS, Bell, and Rogers to stop providing services to individual Canadians. The ministers would be allowed to make such an order if she has, quote, reasonable grounds to believe it is necessary to do so to secure the Canadian telecommunication system against a threat. So it's just like, what other use is this going to have than shutting people up? Like, there's no other excuse for this. But there's more and more bills like this being put forward. I mean, I guess the question just keeps coming up. Like, are the Canadian people blind to this? Do they not know what's going on? Are they tricked into thinking it's a good thing? This to me is sort of the unanswerable question, because this just seems so obviously bad to people like me, and I'm sure people like you. That's like, how do we even have to argue against this? How is it not obvious to everybody what's going on here?
And that is my issue as well. And that's why I get frustrated on my videos, because we look at this, certain lawyers look at these laws, and they realize that the language in there is very tricky. And unfortunately, we don't have the news source that you guys have in the United States. We have a government-owned news media, and they own all of it except for one, which is Rebel News.
Right.
And so we have absolutely no opposition of views or voices. And so those of us who are individuals who read these bills and we realize that they're using tricky, you know, language and all of this stuff, we try to present that to the people. However, the media then goes in and pushes their propaganda and says, oh, this is for spies. We would never use this on regular people. Yeah, the language in the law says we would use it on regular people, but it's not. It's for spies and it's for, you know, danger to our country. But we've seen what they've done during the trucker protest, where people who weren't even at the trucker protest, who just donated to a cause, and they had their bank accounts frozen. Yeah. And so we've seen the overreach of the government. They've shown us exactly. And it is very frustrating trying to wake up Canadians, because they trust their government so much. They think that all of the other governments are so corrupt. And because we don't really have kind of a world stage, I guess, power or any sort of pull on the world stage, Canadians actually think that our governments are for us, but they're actually our number one threat to our freedoms and our rights in Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, they're bringing in all the Indians to replace you. I mean, the immigration to Canada is like maybe some of the most insane in the entire world, the way it has absolutely skyrocketed immediately following COVID. It's really abominable, and it's clearly all run through scams. We've run reports of these, you know, diploma factories where they, you know, claim everybody's a student to be able to get in under those visas. And that's another thing where it's like, I know people that have been to Canada, and they went 10 years ago, they go now, and they're like, it's unrecognizable. It's another one of these things where it's like, how do they just let this happen? And of course, then the Indian politics get brought over to Canada. There's like terrorist attacks because of stuff that happened in India. Again, like, what is there? What can we do to fight back against this?
Honestly, I'm not even sure myself what we as Canadians can do, because they have cornered us so far into not having any power. And there are so many Canadians now that don't want to see what is in front of them. And right. they actually want to protect the system that is imprisoning them and taking away their rights. And on the other hand, people are scared to talk. Mm. They are very afraid to go out online, put their face out there and speak the truth because of what happened during the trucker protest, because they know what the government can do. They know how much the government will go out of their way to stop somebody from speaking. We've seen it with the trucker protest and the organizers. I mean, they're trying to crush Chris's truck.
Right.
And all because it's a symbol of freedom. And it's just insane how far the government in Canada is willing to go to actually silence any sort of opposition voices. And so you have a two-factor. I mean, people have families, you know, they have livelihoods, and it's very hard in Canada if you don't streamline your livelihood to actually make it in any other way, because we're such a small population. There's nowhere to go where there's a community that will actually give you a job or give you the opportunity to be able to live, even if you wanted to be outside of the system. The Right. system has captured Canadians so well that now they've pretty much streamlined it for the New World Order to come in and completely take over.
And then there's MAID. And then, you know, because when you say like streamlining, it's like they're streamlining you right to the suicide booth. Like, 5% of all deaths in Canada now are MAID, assisted suicide. Again, it's like the more you think about it, the more insane things get. The UK is getting rid of jury trials now. Like, there is this massive movement. I think you identified exactly what's happening on Alex's show. I heard you say something that is very similar to the way I look at it, or the way I see it, is that we defeated the World Economic Forum's attempt to seduce us all into willingly going with them. And so now it's this race where, like, they're exposed. We're continuing to expose them. We're continuing to weaken them and counteract them. But that just means they're going even harder and faster. And there is, like, this race going on between us and the New World Order because they've been unmasked. So we have a victory in one part, but it's made everything so much more insane as a consequence. Can you elaborate a little on that?
Yes. So the World Economic Forum was definitely working in the shadows. And until it came to light that he was using infiltrators into our government, such as Justin Trudeau, he even said it, Klaus Schwab said it. He's like, yeah, I pretty much brainwashed Justin Trudeau into thinking about our policies and our way. And then we just infiltrated the Canadian government. And that is how they're doing it in all of these countries. They're getting incompetent morons. Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but they're
allowed to say incompetent morons. Okay. Please, that's the bare minimum of what you're allowed to say on here.
Well, they're completely incompetent, and they're morons, and they're clowns. And so they go to these World Economic Forum schools, they get brainwashed, and then they get put into the government, and they all have handlers that are a lot smarter, that know exactly what to do. And so if they put someone like Justin Trudeau forward in camera, who can't even, like, you know, finish a sentence, I think it was by the end of his years as a prime minister, he finally learned how to speak properly. I mean, he used to say things like water bottle box thingy. yeah, I mean, the guy was a complete idiot. We had the best years of memes under Justin Trudeau and his fancy socks. And so, yeah, as you can see, just the dancing and all of that. It's a clown show in Canada.
Literally, yes.
And so
literally.
A lot of Canadians think that this is cute because we don't want to be aggressive. That's the entire Canadian image is we don't want to be aggressive. We don't want to really, like, shake the boat or rock the boat. And so having an incompetent leader like Justin Trudeau and now his handler, I call him his handler, Mark Carney, a lot of Canadians think that he's good for us. And they don't really realize what is happening in the background, what policies are being pushed. They only want that image of Canada being, you know, friendly on the world stage. And they don't really realize just how much the World Economic Forum and the NWO have infiltrated our politics and our entire system.
Yeah. And almost to an even greater degree now. I was noticing this yesterday because it's like, okay, the leader of Germany is Friedrich Merz. He was a former BlackRock executive. Leader of France, Macron, was a former Rothschild banker. Mark Carney, former head of the Bank of England. So, I mean, the bankers have just taken the top spots now. It's like, it's almost like they got tired of using puppets, and now it's just, well, we'll just put the bankers themselves into the position. And again, I think that is in line with what's happening at the World Economic Forum, where Klaus Schwab was sort of kicked out. And of course, who replaced him? Larry Fink, the head of BlackRock. So there is this, like, BlackRock, Vanguard, you know, private equity slash banking combine that is just ruling the world at this point.
Absolutely. And I think they're the ones that are extremely scared with all of the information coming out there. And so I feel like Canada's almost the ground zero for their experiment, their global experiment, because Canadians are very meek, very apathetic. And so now they're trying to see what will work in other countries, because England is waking up and they're really starting to push back. And so, of course, they're not going to use the exact same things in Canada. They will kind of go quietly and they will try and do things slowly. So with the digital ID in the UK, they kind of came out a little too forceful.
Strong, yeah, yeah. Exactly. They want to make everybody accept it.
Exactly. Whereas in Canada, they're like, oh, you won't need it to, you know, work. You just needed to go in and get your EI or get your, taxes.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know, just a little things at a time. And so Canadians are like, oh, whatever. I already have a digital ID. Oh, I already have a phone. But I don't think they really understand the centralization and the power that the digital ID will hold.
Yeah.
They think that digital means it's just going to be online and it's just going to be streamlined. But it's who will actually have control over the information that you're putting in there, and then who will actually control your ability to access that.
Yeah.
That is the dangers of digital ID.
Oh, and that's just the beginning, right? Let's expand on that a little bit, because obviously it's going towards the mark of the beast system, you know, call it whatever you want. But, you know, I was talking to some friends about this, and they're going, well, you know, eventually it'll be that they'll come and, you know, they'll be doing what they're doing in Gaza. They'll be doing it here, and they'll be killing us with robots. And it's like, y'all, once the digital ID is in place, they just cut off your food. Like, it's not going to be that hard. It's not going to be. Once they get this in place, it's a simple matter of flipping a switch for them, and you don't get healthcare, you don't get food, you can't get a job. I mean, that's the real danger, right?
Absolutely. And what people don't understand is just how much power they will have over that. So if your bank account gets locked because you said something against the government, you don't even need to go to jail to do your sentencing. Your jail and your punishment will be the fact that you will not be able to participate in society or get any of the benefits that you've paid into for so many years.
Right. And of course, I'm sure it's the same under the charter, but like, obviously we have the right to a jury trial, the right to, you know, represent ourselves and face our accusers in court. But they're sort of circumventing that with things like digital ID, where it's like, well, we're not really punishing you. We're just not allowing you to use our service. And, you know, and they'll do it through private entities in order to do that. Or they'll, you know, search and seizure, right? Like, we have laws against that. But they'll go to the big tech company and say, well, you own the data. Can you give it to us? And of course, the company's, you know, willing to give it over without even having a warrant. So these are all ways of circumventing things that have been established in law to protect our rights. But of course, Canada doesn't even have those. And I don't think people understand, like, we talk about the First Amendment a lot. Even a place like Canada or the UK that prides itself on free speech, they're always bragging about how they support free speech. It's obviously a lie. But it's really impactful, right? Not having the First Amendment, even just things like when the police want to ask you questions. I'll watch, you know, police interrogation videos. And, you know, in America, if you say, I want a lawyer, it stops. They're not allowed to ask any more questions or else they can get sued and the case will get dropped. But if you watch the Canadian ones, people go, I want a lawyer. And they go, okay, we're getting you one. Now answer the question. You know, and they just keep asking, keep, you know, doubling down. So it's like, because you guys don't have it explicitly laid out in your founding documents, it really is completely arbitrary whether you have rights or not. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I don't think our Charter of Rights is even valid, to be honest. Mm. I think the validity of the Charter of Rights is being questioned and has been since the trucker protest. And even in our Charter of Rights, it says that they're privileges, they're not rights, and that they can be taken away in case something happens, such as COVID, where they did
an emergency, right?
Yeah, where they enacted emergencies. And what people don't understand is that they can actually put environmental catastrophe as an emergency, and then all of our rights can be taken away underneath that. And I don't think that people really understand just how, well, not many, how little rights we have as Canadians, because apparently everything is a privilege, depending on your attitude and how you want to present yourself in the society of Canada.
Right.
And so everything is being pushed to pretty much have everybody be in line with what the government wants. And that is just part of the communist Marxist takeover of Canada, is to have the government be the one and only say in absolutely everything. And I think that's why they're taking away our religion. They've taken away a lot of things. You know, they keep changing our anthem as if it's a joke, as if it means nothing.
Right.
And so you get a lot of these different aspects where people are pretty much now kind of losing faith and hope, and also a place of belonging
right.
that they once had in Canada. you only belong is if you go with the woke agenda. That's the only way you can belong in Canada. Otherwise, you get ostracized. You get ostracized at work, unless you work in the oil field or construction. I don't think those guys care.
Right, right.
It has to
be. Or if you're a trucker, you know.
Or if you're a trucker, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and again, it's like, it's just so strange. You think of Canada, you think of rugged people, you think of Australia, you think of the Outback, but it's like these places have become the most wussified, just like liberal communist hellholes, and it's honestly tragic. It's tragic to see what's happened, but it's been going on in Canada, I feel like, for longer than everybody else, because you're talking about the UK, you know, pushing back, and they're doing like the raise the color thing. At least they have the Union Jack to point to. Canada's, you know, traditional flag was replaced with like the 60s or something with the maple leaf. I don't know. No offense, but the maple leaf, it doesn't scream out like, you know, heritage to me. It's, you know, it's like, it seems like Canada has had their national identity beaten down over decades. This isn't a new thing, is it?
Oh, this is definitely not a new thing. It has been decades. And it has been decades of the government doing illegal things against its own people with absolutely no way of being questioned or, you know, being put on trial. Because everything is so streamlined towards the government that if you were to sue the government for any wrongdoing, such as MKUltra that they did in the 70s and the 60s, they've also been testing on people in New Brunswick. The military admitted to it. Now people have, you know, weird brain syndromes that can't really figure out. And there's absolutely no way for us to bring them to justice, right. Because they own the courts. They own everything. And so even with the trucker protest where the courts pretty much said that the EA, the Emergencies Act, was unjustified, nothing happened.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's so weird. That, again, that's like the weirdest thing about Canada. It's like the truth doesn't matter and or the decisions don't matter. Because the other thing, the other probably most absurd story out of Canada in the last decade is the schools, the residential schools, where they claimed there was a genocide. They funded millions of dollars to scan, you know, these places where they claimed there were mass graves, found absolutely nothing. But now you've got, you know, Canadian parliamentary members saying we're going to criminalize anybody questioning the residential school genocides. It is insane when you do years-long studies, find no evidence, and then try to pass a law forbidding questioning it. It's like you just have to... I just have to laugh. I mean, what are you even supposed to say at this point?
Exactly. And what are we supposed to do? That's another thing. It's our courts aren't on our sides. And even if they are, there's no punishment. There's nothing. And then they just bring in these laws. We have no opposition because our Senate was taken over. Justin Trudeau pretty much put all of his pawns in there. And then he pretty much united three different parties under the Liberal Party. So the Conservatives are almost a minority. But even they're not allowed to really push the opposition because a lot of Canadians are on middle grounds with a lot of the subjects. And so it's a very weird situation in Canada, just watching the globalists come in, trample over everything. And a lot of Canadians are apathetic. Some are afraid to talk out. And the ones that do, we either get punished or we have to leave Canada for our own safety because it's truly scary. People have said things online and the RCMP have showed up to their door.
Right.
Luckily I was too far out for them to come out, but I'm pretty sure I'm on certain lists.
I bet you are. You know, you're probably not looking forward to going home and crossing the border and, you know, getting the treatment there, especially after, you know, hearing Alex's stories about trying to do that years ago. And it's the same thing that people don't realize. You know, the populations in Canada and Western Europe are so soft and like loving, but it's the same thing in Canada, as Germany, the police are like so hardcore and really will kick your butt if you don't do what they say. We'll be back with more on the other side. Tayana Sekich, Tayana Truth Seeker 01011 on Instagram and X, Tayana Sekich on Facebook. We'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in. In people who can't make it, it can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after The Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Come to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is The War Room. My guest is Tayana Sekic. I practiced during the break and everything. We're going to call her TJ from now on. You can call her Truth Seeker, Truth Seeker 01011 on X. That's... Oh, I'm sorry, TruthSeek 01011 on X, TruthSeeker 01011 on Instagram. And of course, you can go there and find the link tree and see all of the links from there. You mentioned this, and I'd forgotten about it. The crew brought out the article, and I remembered it. Mysterious brain disease in Canada wasn't a mystery after all. New research attributes the cases to well-known conditions like Alzheimer's, cancer, and traumatic brain injuries. So in New Brunswick, there was this crop of mysterious brain illnesses, and just reading the symptoms sound horrifying: hallucinations, spasms, rapid memory loss, and the sensation that bugs were crawling underneath their skin. But the symptoms and brain scans didn't fit an easy existing diagnosis. The cases were a mystery. And so what did this turn out to be?
They're still kind of looking into it, but I guess during that time when these symptoms started arising, our military was also doing experiments in the woods, as they say, in the woods against the people. But they don't think it's linked at all. So I'm just using air quotes just in case our stupid military sees this, or our TeamU version of your CIA sees this. So
you know. But you're out of there, right? I mean, you left Canada.
Yeah.
You got out of there, man.
I got out of there, and I'm scared, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm actually scared to go and visit, and
I mean, I'm always torn because, you know, part of me is like, we can't abandon these, you know, we got to stay and fight, you know, whether it's in your school's teaching your stuff, kids they don't want to see, and people just go, well, I'll homeschool. And I go, no, you got to stay and fight. But, man, I wouldn't want my bank account getting cut off, and I wouldn't want, you know, the punishments that they deliver for, you know, wrongthink there in Canada. I guess the good news is that if you have one of these neurological symptoms, then they can they'll just kill you, right? I mean, so I'm sure that's the solution that they're offering. So the military was conducting experiments, and suddenly there's this cluster of brain diseases, but they're not admitting that they had anything to do with it. So these people are just out of luck. They're not getting paid out by the government. Just sorry about your brain.
Exactly.
We can kill you if you want.
Yeah, we have made. You know, that's free. And if you're suffering and you can't afford to live, or you're depressed or sad, there's made. Yeah. But it's also our mental health system is being backed up by a lot of asylum seekers. So people who came on student visas, they found a loophole. If they sign up for mental health issues, then they get stuck in the system longer to be able to stay. So Canadians who are actually suffering with mental health issues do not have the resources, so they're being offered MAID. So there's a lot of aspects of us Canadians being, I should say, replaced. But in a voluntary way.
In a coerced way, a lot of times. It really is beyond description. Like, it is so insane what's happening. 5% of deaths. 5% of deaths in Canada are MAID. 1 out of 20 people who die are killed by the state, and they're normalizing it to an insane degree, and even trying to, you know, pass laws where mature minors can be given MAID.
Exactly. They think that they can surpass, I guess, the parents. And if a child believes that they don't want to be on the planet anymore, especially like in their teenage years where, you know, hormones are high. And I think I'm pretty sure we've all had bad days as teenagers where we're like, oh, life is so over.
Right.
You know, just because you're a teenager, you don't really know the reality of the world out there and how much harder it gets.
Yeah.
And so they can go to MAID. They don't need to really look into parental permission, and so they're looking into also taking the parental permission away.
Yeah, that's great. And there are so many things that align with everything you're saying. Like right now there was a scandal because there's a law being passed in America. I think they're trying to pass a law. Or actually what had happened was doctors started telling parents that they needed their kid's permission. If the kid was 12 years old or older, they wouldn't release the medical files to the parents, and they said the 12-year-old needed to give permission. So they're trying to normalize this mature minor idea that actually at 12 years old, you're in charge of your health care and your parents shouldn't have a say in it. Or there's another scandal. I think it was in Harvard, but same type of thing. You get benefits for being mentally disturbed, or you get benefits for being disabled. So now the number of disabled people has skyrocketed completely. And that's another thing. I think it may have been an airport in Canada, but there was this video that went viral of all of these Indians from this flight from India sitting in wheelchairs pretending to be disabled. And it's this like, okay, this is why we can't have nice things. If you take advantage of the vulnerabilities, they have to go away. So you have all these people pretending to be mentally disabled. And so, you know, there's just so many things, so many negative consequences to it, but you're bringing in these people by the millions. It's just suicidal. It's civilizational suicide.
Oh, and it's completely done intentional, I think, just to collapse Canada and bring in the third world, because they're a lot easier to manage.
Right.
Right. Like, they're not used to the freedoms that we had in Canada. They've never seen that level of prosperity, because right. Canada was a very prosperous country. At right. one point, like, you could work one job and you could afford a house. Things were affordable. Living was affordable. And then in the last 10 years, we slowly started to see the decline. First, in being proud to be a Canadian. Justin Trudeau tried to erase our, you know, image on the right. world stage. And then the propaganda. And then I think 2020 was the final blow. And then with the trucker protest, that was our last kind of hurrah as Canadians and being proud. And a lot of people said the same thing, that they felt so proud
right.
being Canadian. And, you know, they had a lot of pride in Canada. And so they start with the anthem. Let's change it. Let's make it more gender neutral. You know, the Bible's racist now. This is homophobic now. And now everything has become just woke, streamline of wokeism.
Right.
And if you deviate from that, not only does the system punish you, but also a lot of Canadians who have been trained will punish you. And that is kind of training Canadians to be apathetic and also changing their behavior so that it will align with the World Economic Forum and what they want to do, which is just corral the cattle and the sheep into the direction that they want them to go into.
Right. And give them no other choice. And can you expand a little bit on that? Because I think that's a key point. And, you know, it manifests sort of in different ways. But why would the elite want a million Bangladeshis in Canada rather than Canadian citizens? Like, what is wrong with Canadian citizens that, you know, they're so objectionable that they all need to be given made and replaced with people from India? Like, what is it about that?
I think it's because the Western world, I think, is a beacon of freedom and self-individual rights. And so if you have a population like that, and then you try and put a tyrannical government in place, a lot of us will stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, this isn't right. This goes against human rights. This goes against this. But if you bring in people who are already used to that level of tyranny, and they're already used to that level of control from their own governments from, you know, decades and decades ago, now you have a workforce that will do exactly what you want them to do, pay them lower wages, lower standards, and they can just siphon the tax money from them. They keep getting richer. And Canada can now be the tax slave country that they actually want.
Right. But then even that doesn't work out, because all the refugees go on welfare anyway and say they're mentally ill to get bonuses. So it's like, it's not even like they're actually getting tax money. I think you're right. It's about the lack of, like, history of being a free people, a lack of heritage that, you know, your identity is defined by your, you know, resistance to tyranny. That doesn't exist in other countries. It doesn't exist in other populations like it does in Canada and America. And of course, if you come from a slum in Mumbai, then, like, a little, you know, one bedroom apartment in Ottawa is going to seem like a palace to you. So you're going to be happy with sort of the bare minimum of what Canadians would be willing to accept.
Exactly. And yeah. that is basically the reason for, I think, the depopulation of the Canadian population, or as they call old stock Canadians,
right.
And then bringing in new people that have no idea what Canada was like 20 years ago, and that think that Canada's amazing now because they get a job, they get a nice apartment, you know, you have a car, which a lot of people can't afford in Europe. I mean, they have trains, everything's also a lot smaller in Europe. So it's a lot easier to get around with trains, but not in Canada.
Right.
And so a lot of people have said, oh, I could never afford this in Europe, or I could never afford, you know, something this big, because Canada is we have a lot of land. We're the second landmass in the world. And so you don't see those size of houses in Europe.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what mesmerizes the new immigrants or the newcomers into, oh, wow, look how amazing Canada is. Of course, their government's amazing. Like,
right.
you know, we don't have this in India. We don't have this due process, even though the due process has been skimmed down to the point where I think police officers will be our courts.
Right.
Very soon.
It's still better than it is.
Exactly, because yeah, they're used to that level of corruption from their police forces in India. So
right.
to them, you know, a police officer even asking for an ID instead of just beating you with a stick and taking your ID is, you know,
it's like, wow, I must be a king. You know, I'm a king here.
Exactly.
You know, the police do what I say. I must be in charge. Wow, yeah. And again, it's not, you know, it shouldn't be offensive. It's just like, this is just how it is. You know, we've showed videos where, you know, Indian politicians, one of the ways they campaign is just driving around throwing cash out of their cars. Like, it's just, you know, paying for votes outright. It's not that, you know, it's not even like they are deliberately, you know, violating the morals of Canada. It's just like, no, where they come from, this is what you do. You pay people for votes. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing immoral with that in India. they bring those morals over to Canada, the system can't survive that type of corruption.
Exactly. And also the way I don't think that they understand the way our nature works as well, because we've seen them poaching. We've seen them throwing garbage in our rivers. And for Canada, who's really super big on the whole green initiative, I mean, Greta Thunberg could be like
a
lord and savior in Canada for most. You know, just seeing those people not even say anything. So you've got a bunch of these greenies who are like, oh, we need to shut down Alberta completely, like get rid of oil and gas. Like we can just live like it's the 1600s. And then you see them coming in and throwing garbage into our rivers and, you know, disrespecting our wildlife. Not a peep. So it's almost like, isn't this the reason why you guys push the entire global agenda on us, is because of this whole climate change green initiative thing?
Right.
And now people are coming in disrespecting our nature and, oh, but that's fine. And so that's where it's frustrating.
It exposes that their motivation is something else, right? If their motivation really was the climate, they would not be bringing in millions and millions of Indians. I mean, even if you take them at their word and they say, you know, people from the first world produce so much more carbon than anybody from the third world, well, why would you want to bring people from the third world to the first world where you're maximizing their carbon production? I mean, even using their own logic, it doesn't make any sense. But then, yeah, we're showing some videos here. I mean, it's a delicate balance that nature has in Canada, especially where, like, you have these salmon runs where the salmon's return to their breeding grounds at the same time every year. I mean, if you disrupt that 1 year, there's no salmon to come back the next year. Like, it's over. The wild salmon in that river cannot survive being poached to the degree that they are. It's why these laws exist in the first place. So, like, why would they not care about that? What is wrong with them that they see this going on? But clearly they care about something else more than the environment. And that something else, I guess, is replacing, you know, white Canadians with Indian ones. It's just absurd.
Exactly. I think, honestly, everything Canada is doing backwards, and I don't understand how some people don't see it, and they're still for the system. They're for this government that doesn't even want them.
Right.
That's the most frustrating part.
It's literally killing them. It's so crazy. But you were describing how you had to leave Canada to even understand the propaganda you were being subjected to.
Yes. So that was an eye-opener, even for me. Once I left Canada, like, I knew the propaganda that was being pushed on us.
Right.
And I saw through it, but I didn't realize just how much it affected me on an emotional level until we moved to the United States. And then you're around normal people, like amazing patriots, people who are super friendly and genuinely mean it. They're not scared to say what they want to say. And then all of a sudden you get this genuine vibe from people and it rubs off on you. And then the veil almost lifted. I was like, wow, I can't believe just how much propaganda we get pushed in Canada. And I started to get angry at that. And so I was like, I need to wake everybody up in Canada.
Right.
And I think some of that emotion and anger, I think people took it as, you know, I hate Canada and I left, which is not the case at all. It's almost like, hey guys, like, I've just gone through this. If you guys would just listen, you would realize just how much control we're under and just how tight everything is, to the point where you can't even talk to your Canadian neighbors in an authentic way because you're scared your neighbor will call the cops on you.
Wow. So it really is like Soviet level.
It's starting to really, really get there. It really is. Because if you tell a neighbor anything, they will call the cops on you.
Oh,
if a neighbor suspects that you are doing something or even having a small business where you're not paying the full taxes, and let's say the taxes are like maybe $1,000 a year, they will call the government and report you because they don't want you having that $1,000 because you have to also pay so many taxes. So why should your neighbors get away with
it? It's unfair. But when, you know, 10 million Indians want to scam the system and go on welfare and, you know, deplete the rivers, they don't have anything to say, which again is just it really you almost have to marvel at the like psychological manipulation that the World Economic Forum and their associates have been able to pull off against people like Canada. The cognitive dissonance is like almost something to behold. So when you came to America, Texas in particular, I'll add, because I understand what you're saying. When I would live in D.C. for a while and then I'd come back to Texas, it's like, oh, people. Oh, good. There's people here that I can talk that aren't like, you know, wondering what they can get out of me. So was it the people and the way that you talked to your neighbors, or was it the media landscape that you were surrounded by? What was it that you think keeps people in Canada so like isolated from the truth?
I'm honestly not sure if it's an isolation from the truth more than ignorance in Canada, but down here it was just a genuine vibe of people. In Canada, people are scared to say how they feel, even on minor things. It has to be a fake presentation of yourself towards other people. Otherwise, you could lose your job, you know, you start drama in a neighborhood, and you just don't want those things. So you have to be really fake a lot of the time in Canada. And then I come down here, and you're talking to someone at a gas station, and like, you know, he's got a cowboy hat on, like a pistol on the side, and he's like, I don't care about this, and I'm like, oh, that is so refreshing. Like, please come to Canada and like make Canadians that way. And they don't care, they'll just say it. Like, I'll say I'm from Canada, and they're like, you boot our anthem, I don't like that. And I'm like, I'm from Minnesota, I'm from Wisconsin, you know. But it's just the fact that they will say it, and they will express it, and then it opens up a way of conversation, and then you can actually have a legitimate conversation with someone. Whereas in Canada, let's say you guys booed our anthem and then you came to Canada and you said I was American, no one would say anything. They'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, and then they'd walk away and probably talk behind your back without you really knowing. So you really never know where you stand with people.
That is so disturbing.
And it makes your psychological aspect of your everyday life so much harder. And that's the veil that really lifted. Whereas down here, I can just say how I feel on a site, you know, and everybody expects it because it's human nature.
Right.
But they have beaten that human nature out of Canadians.
And it really, and there's so many aspects to that, because it really is about making people scared to say the truth, right? It's like, and if you don't have the freedom to express it, then you also don't have the freedom to hear it. So you're just, you know, everybody's lying to each other all the time. They're all pretending to believe something that they all know is not true. And it's just psychologically destructive. That is horrifying. That's frankly horrifying.
It is. And I've had a lot of people tell me behind like closed doors and in DMs and things like that, like, hey, I voted for Mark Carney because I was scared to be put on a list if I voted for the conservatives. Right. So like people will actually tell me, or somebody will say like, oh, I just tell people I'm a liberal so I don't get punished, but I'm a conservative. So that means there's conservatives who do the exact same. Right. So we never know what the actual numbers are. We never know who's actually on whose side. And so a lot of people are like, you know, we all complain about Mark Carney. We all complain about Justin Trudeau. But why do they keep getting in? There's a lot of people that will just say things just to kind of keep the peace and not really rock the boat. And so we never really know in Canada what somebody is thinking, who truly they are. And I think I just started to speak out. I just didn't care. Yeah. And I know if you call a Canadian a racist, it's like they're kryptonite. Like it just freezes them. Like it can be about the vaccine. If you call a Canadian racist, most Canadians will be like, no, I'm not. Whereas I'm like, I don't care what you call me. Like you can call me, label me, whatever. I'll just keep telling the truth, because the truth is the truth and you can't really hide from the truth. And unfortunately, Canadians have gotten themselves into this because they do not want to self-reflect. They do not want to stop lying to themselves and others. And I think that's the only way we can beat this, is if Canadians stop being apathetic, really grabbed a backbone and started to just speak their entire truth, because then really then we would kind of see what we're working with.
Yeah, it's kind of, you need a critical mass to do it all at once, because they can just pick you off one by one. If it's just one person at a time, you know, standing up, that's the method. I mean, it seems like they almost have a better situation in Canada than they have in North Korea. North Korea's got to keep their boot on the people. Canada, it seems like the people are keeping the boot on their own faces. Well, what a brilliant way to, you know, create a population that will never revolt, never stand up against you, never like tangibly prevent you from achieving your ends if they are trained to willfully go along with their own destruction. It's very sophisticated. They've really succeeded in what they're trying to do.
They really have. And honestly, it's impressive how far they can go, especially in Canada, especially when we turn on one another just for the virtue signaling of things. And so I know I make a lot of videos where I kind of provoke people emotionally, but I think that's what I do that on purpose, just so that someone has a bit of a breakdown and starts speaking the truth.
Right.
Because then I can get into arguments with them, you know, in the comment section. And it's just that little seed.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to sprout right away, but it's a little seed that was planted, and then maybe something in the future the government will screw up like they did with the bank accounts, and people will come to realize, oh, wait a minute, maybe there's some substance to what she was saying. It wasn't just crazy conspiracy theories. And then they will dig in on their own, or they will start to see the pattern everywhere they go. And that's kind of how I woke up as well, you know. It was just kind of little patterns here and there. I mean, I had like a big event happened, but it was also like I would see things when I was younger and I'm like, maybe I'm a little crazier. Maybe
am I the only one that doesn't think this makes any sense?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And it really does take that, right? I mean, you can't underplay when you hear somebody that is like respectable and not a crazy person say something, it gives you permission to say it. And like, that's such a powerful thing. When people hear respectable, intelligent, thoughtful people say something, it's like it gives them the green light. And people really need that. It's kind of sad. Like, I wish people didn't. I wish people were more like you that just go, I'm just going to say it. Screw what people say about me. But people are herd animals and they need to know that it's safe. They need to watch, you know, the first donkey cross the bridge before they're willing to step a single foot on it. So I think what you do is incredibly valuable as a Canadian, even though you're in America now. Canadians need to see people speaking up so they can also have that same courage.
Absolutely. And I think that's the main thing that I'm trying to get out there is the more we speak, the more we're honest with ourselves, the more we're just who we are. I mean, we're all human beings. We all have something that connects us. It's just human nature. And so I think if a lot more Canadians became, okay with themselves, then they would realize, hey, you know, it's okay to speak up. It's okay to point out the truth. We don't need to just be the perfect, you know, family up in Canada to put some sort of a fake presentation out to the world. Like, our futures rely on this. Our kids' futures, like the next generation's futures, actually rely on this. And my whole thing is, if people can just be more genuine in themselves, it will actually save Canada in the long run. And I think that's why a lot of people are like, oh, it's coming to the States. I'm like, it is. But I see your guys' heart and love for this country. And it is so contagious. Like, I absolutely love it down here. So I wish a lot of more Canadians would get that kind of courage and that vibe in them.
Yeah. Well, and because people really do internalize it, and they really do think it's racist to not want illegal migration or, you know, not be swamped by Indians. Like, they actually genuinely think that these labels mean something and that they're real, and so they don't want to be that thing. And I think it's important just to go, it's not racist to defend yourself, or it's not racist to not be a sucker with all these scammers, you know, claiming things that aren't true. And so really, at the end of the day, it is all truth, right? After all, your name online, Truth Seeker, that's all you're really doing, right? It's just trying to get the truth out. And without free speech, you cannot think your own thoughts. You cannot say the truth when it you know, looks you in the face. Of course, it's why famous Canadian Jordan Peterson, right? Compelled speech. Everybody wanted him to be nice, and he wasn't nice, so they basically kicked him out of the country, like they did to you. What else are you working on? How else can people support you?
I'm just basically making videos and putting the truth out there, connecting the dots. Sometimes I go into a little bit more of the conspiracy things when the political stuff gets a little heavy, but it all kind of matches in there. So if they want to support me, they can follow my pages on Facebook, which is Tiana Cekic, or on X, which is TruthSeek01011, or on Instagram, which is TruthSeeker01011.
Yeah, and of course, if you haven't seen her before, it's because you don't watch this program, because we've played a lot of her videos, because you boil things down in a very concise and compelling way, which is what we need a lot of times, because this stuff can be very confusing. It can be, you know, things happen months apart, and if you're not keeping track, it can be hard to encapsulate it all. So you do a really good job with that. Tiana Cekic?
That was perfect.
Was that good? Okay, perfect. Tiana Cekic. See, the problem was I was going with the pronunciation earlier. I should have just read it right out. Tiana Cekic on Facebook, TruthSeeker01011 on Instagram, TruthSeek01011 on X. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute pleasure.
Well, it was very fun. You're in Texas, so there's no excuse. We'll have to have you back again very soon, and we welcome you to the state as a legitimate refugee. Forget people from, you know, Nicaragua claiming they need asylum. These people in Canada are actually being pursued by their government and need the protection of the great American states. We'll be right back.
Everything we do is the tip of the spear. You are the tip of the spear when you spread the word, when you pray for us, when you buy products. So listen, we have shortfalls, and they're not even that big, but I understand the economy's totally shot. Our audience is as big as it's ever been, and back when the economy was going and we had an audience this big, we'd be in high cotton and I'd be able to expand. Right now, I'm just trying to stay on air. So I need you to make the decision to go to theallyshowstore.com right now and take advantage of the biggest sale ever. Black Friday came early. That's right. Black Friday has come early. We always launch it the weekend after before Black Friday. Be a little different. Black Friday comes early. Mega sale, the biggest sale ever.
Buy one, get one free on all supplements. The Irish Sea Moss, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Bovine Colostrum, and dozens of other amazing products. This is the biggest sale we've ever done. Ends Friday, November 28th. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement for free. Normally, it's buy one bottle of Irish Sea Moss, another bottle of Irish Sea Moss, or buy one bottle of Methylene Blue, another bottle. No, this is add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Friday, November 28th. Visit theoxygenstore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the info war. Take advantage of this amazing deal while supplies last. And here's another little tidbit that makes this a total loss leader when you use it. If you go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Droid or Apple app for free that are in the top apps, just in the last few months we launched it, folks at Bigly, the Alex Jones channel, the Alex Jones network, it's the same shopping cart on the app, your desktop or phone. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top. So everybody should get the app and should definitely use that. But if you want to support us more, get more funds in, then don't use the app and get the additional 20% off. I'm serious. It's like a form of a donation. When I tell you that I need your support, it's absolutely critical. This is the most critical time.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.